The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm here with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm lovely.
You're always lovely.
Yes, I'm feeling lovely.
Okay, for the third week in a row, we have Michelle McCormack, branch manager of Homebridge Financial Services. Good morning.
Hey, Jackie. How are you today? This sounds like a real love fest I'm joining here. I'm looking forward to the day.
Yes, I'm so thankful that you returned with us for a third discussion. Today, I thought we would talk about what sellers need to know about mortgages. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we talk about different real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been selling, listing, and appraising properties for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or if there's a topic we haven't covered, I think we've pretty much covered everything in the past 3.5 years. But if there's something, email us that suggestion and we'll take care of it. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, don't forget to check out the webcam and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where we also have most of our archive radio shows. Like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Most of our listings have either a virtual tour or a YouTube video, and we do a lot of marketing for our sellers, so we're very proud of that. Check that out. Third week in a row, Michelle McCormack, branch manager, Homebridge Financial Services. How long have you been providing mortgages?
I've been providing mortgages to residents of Northeast Pennsylvania since 1987.
You know your stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. And now you're doing second generation types of mortgages.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am now doing the children of young people that I had done their first time home buyer loans for, their move up homes, and now they've entrusted their children to me. So there's no greater compliment than having a parent entrust their child to my services.
Must be very gratifying.
Yes, it is.
I hope that someday I'm able to say the same. I haven't been doing it quite that long yet, though. But we're getting there. 22 years, right, Pat?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So
how could you be doing it 22 years? You look like you're 35.
As people tell me that all the time. I know. I know. Started when I was 2. What sellers need to know about mortgages? Because often when we do a program like today with you coming in talking about different types of mortgages, we're talking to the buyer on these shows, you know, the listener as a buyer. But what do sellers need to know? Because it's a whole different world out there than maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago when they purchased that home, and things are different.
Well, sellers have to be up on, number one, today's the programs that are out there today for home buyers, because the reality is, unless somebody can afford to buy their house, it's rare that they're going to buy it in cash, or unless the seller wants to hold the mortgage. Again, you're hoping that the person that buys your house can get that mortgage. So they want to be aware of what type of lending is going on in their local marketplace today.
So the buyer has a pre-approval letter, pre-qualification letter. Is it the same thing?
No, a pre-qualification letter. Well, there's a couple of different ways that you could look at it. Number one, I am going to suggest that you want to take one from a local provider of services. Okay, I think that's extremely important. There's a lot of people today, they think that they're going to get a better deal off the internet with some unknown entity. The reality is we all get our money from the same place, which is Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae, for our government lending. Most of the loans are all within a quarter to an eighth of a percent of one another. If somebody's a half a percent lower, they're probably lying. and not telling them something. So, you know, be careful. You tend to get what you pay for. And frankly, I would not want to make the largest purchase decision of my life with an unknown entity that I met on the internet.
Right. I've had bad experiences with lenders like that. You know, people, they're going to do better. They do worse. At the end, the guy took the shaft because they raised the price, they raised the rate, and there was nobody to talk to. There was nobody to go back to. It was either go through with it or walk away. So,
right. Well, thankfully, for the most part, most of those days are over with the financial reforms acts that we all, you know, have had to endure painfully these last few years. And they truly were all designed to protect the consumer. But when you deal with a local provider of service, they're using local appraisers. They know this market area. So you're not going to have some of the hiccups that you would find by using an internet-based lender.
You just, Pat, had a deal last year. It didn't go anywhere, but the buyer was convinced that they were pre-approved. They could not get pre-approved from a local lender, but they were convinced that they were pre-approved, and they promptly provided that pre-approval letter from the internet, and they failed to read the fine print. We won't say exactly what the fine print, the number, but they had to pay off a debt
of $10,000, mm-hmm. and the people, they made it clear to me that they had absolutely no intention of paying off the debt. So this pre-approval letter is absolutely worthless. So I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting their time, I'm wasting everybody's time.
If more than one local provider of services is not willing to pre-approve someone, then it's a good chance that, you know, you're not going to get pre-approved. You can tell people, and that's the difference with, you know, when you're dealing over the phone, I'll ask somebody, how much do you earn? You know, where do you work? They sometimes lie. You know, so you're basing it on information that you've been given. Thankfully, because I've been in the business for as long as I have, number one, I have a feel for what people typically earn in this area, depending on where they work and what kind of job they have. Number two, I have the ability to discern when somebody's giving me a line of BS. You can tell, you know.
It so does come that with years of experience.
Oh boy, they're all so slick. Does. Nobody knows.
Right? All right.
Nobody
yeah, knows. It's like dating. You know, you eventually get to ferret out the liars, and you know, so you have an idea.
So we want to look at who wrote the letter, which is something I do as a listing agent, and I will tell the sellers, look, I have no experience with this type of lender. I want you to know that I was given a pre-approval letter, and I'll usually ask that buying agent, usually the buyer's agent, maybe sometimes from another company, because we are part of the multi-list, and I'll find out why they chose to use that lender, and I will ask permission to be able to speak to that lender so that I may get a sense of comfort moving forward and guiding the seller. And a lot of times, you know, that works out. But getting back to pre-approval, pre-qualification, are they the same thing?
No, they're not. A pre-qualification letter, this can actually be done just through a conversation with the customer saying, okay, where do you work? What do you earn? And what kind of monthly debts do you have? I could legally, okay, offer a pre-qualification letter based on this information that you gave me. This is what you would qualify for. I haven't even run a credit report. And it's still okay to have a pre-qualification letter. A pre-qualification letter with a credit report is better than just a pre-qualification letter, because at least we've run their credit. We can see exactly what their debts are. And again, if you're working with a local provider of service, they have the ability to ascertain what the annual income is that somebody makes for this area. And then there's what's called a pre-approval letter, where they're actually submitting their pay stubs, their bank statements, and their tax returns, which we can ship to an underwriter. And typically we have an answer, we have a full approval back within 24 to 48 hours. Now that's your ideal scenario. But sometimes when someone is bidding and they need a pre-approval letter right away, a pre-qualification letter with the credit, showing that a credit report has been run will typically suffice.
Well, is it smart for sellers? Because there's some sellers out there that say, please do not bring someone through unless we have a copy of a pre-approval letter. I mean, you want to be cautious, but what would you say to sellers who want to do that?
Well, I think, again, if it's a pre-qualification letter that where it states that a credit report was run and from it's a local service provider who is reputable, then that should be fine.
Should be sufficient?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, to not let somebody in the property because they don't have the right piece of paper, I would hesitate there because they may want to make an offer on the property and you may be turning away a ready, willing, and able buyer. And, you know,
that has the potential, but we just don't know it yet.
Exactly.
We do try to work with most of the people that do contact us. We have this discussion on the first discussion. Have you been pre-approved?
Right.
And sometimes, again, people don't tell you the truth. Well, they're not telling us the truth either. They'll say yes. Mm-hmm. And we'll ask where. And sometimes they'll give a name. But sometimes we come to find out, usually at the 11th hour, when it's a bidding war against three other, you know, offers out there that, we don't have that letter.
See, what I always suggest that a realtor does, they'll say, did so-and-so call you yet? I gave out your name last week. No, they have not. What I suggest to an agent is ask for the customer to allow you to give their name and telephone number out to two or three, however many referral partners that you typically work with and refer out, because that way we can get in contact with them and we know that the referral source is you. So we can call you back and say, yeah, you've got a solid dealer pass. You know, and it's not designed to hurt a potential home buyer, but we don't want to hurt a home seller. And there's nothing worse than packing up your house thinking that you've got a deal and finding out that, you know, this deal was not worth the piece of paper that it was written on.
And that is a true nightmare, Michelle.
Yes, it is.
Okay, we're headed towards a break. Before we go, Pat, would you like to review two listings, please?
Yes, we have a completely remodeled three-bedroom, two-bath ranch located at 620 Mead Street in Troop for $169,000. This home is in move-in ready condition and it has been well maintained. This brick ranch has low taxes and no garbage fees. It has great room sizes, hardwood floors, and plenty of closet space. There is off-street parking in the rear, a full basement with a laundry area that can be finished for additional living space. So if you're looking for a brick ranch in Troop with three bedrooms and two baths, give us a call about 620 Mead Street for $169,000. And that's listed by Trish Conway of our office.
And the second listing?
Yes. We also have a very nice two-bedroom, one-bath ranch located at 410 Rear Riley Street in Old Forge for $80,000. This home is perfect for someone looking to downsize or if you just want something small. This home has hardwood floors and tile floors. It has off-street parking for two cars and a nice fenced-in backyard. The house has been freshly painted, and it also has low taxes of only $1,200 a year. So if you're looking to downsize, give us a call about 410 Rear Riley Street in Old Forge, a lovely two-bedroom ranch for $80,000, and that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you. Would you like to know the top 10 unhappiest metropolitan areas with a population greater than 1 million?
No. Yes, I would.
Okay. Just take a while.
It could be New York.
You got number one.
No way.
New York is number one.
I don't live in New York.
I know.
No. How did you know? I had some experience with that city, though.
Just a little bit. I don't know. You may have scratched the surface. Number two, Pittsburgh, PA. Three, Louisville, Kentucky. Four, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Five, Detroit, Michigan. Six, Indianapolis, Indiana. Seven, St. Louis, Missouri. Eight, Las Vegas, Nevada. Nine, Buffalo, New York. 10, Philadelphia, PA.
So New York's the crankiest?
New York is the unhappiest metropolitan area with a population greater than 1 million. You know, and Patrick and I love it so.
Yes, and I couldn't wait to get away from it.
And you hate going back.
Yes, I do.
Even for a little visit. It's time for a short break. We will be back in a bit with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Grady Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Buying a new house is a lot like riding a roller coaster.
The anticipation of the ride, nervousness, the anxiety, the climb, climbing higher and higher, the building excitement, and then
the feeling of your stomach flip-flopping all the way down, the rush, the speed. You hold on as you cruise through the corners, the corkscrews, the ups, the downs. To come to rest
feeling satisfied, accomplished. You feel the exact same way when you're buying a house.
Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate is there for you during that amazing roller coaster ride when you're buying a house. Check out Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate today at jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Or call us at 570-344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Each office is independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, in with Pat Devaney. I was going to say Patrick. Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Doing fabulous.
Yes, you are.
I'm fabulous today. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent. We have with us for the third week in a row, Michelle McCormack, branch manager of Homebridge Financial Services.
Hey, glad to be back. Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us. What's your contact information, please?
570-498-5789. Our office is located at 4101 Bernie Avenue in Moosic. Give me a call and I'd be happy to set up an appointment at your convenience to talk about lending. We cover all facets of mortgage lending.
You've been doing this since 1987. Let's run down the list of mortgages you provide.
Okay, we do first-time homebuyers. We do move-up homebuyers. We do FHA. I'm a VA loan specialist. Like rural housing. Love jumbo loans. We do it all. We do investor loans. So if you need a loan, we're the place to call.
VA loans.
Absolutely.
PHFA.
PHFA.
And your favorite, one of your all-time favorites, is the rural housing.
Rural housing and VA is my personal favorite, just because I like helping our veteran home buyers out.
And the last 2 weeks, not today, but the last 2 weeks, we were talking about fabulous renovation loans.
Absolutely.
All right.
I love the ability that Homebridge, they offer all facets of lending. So I like that, and it makes me very happy to work with the company that not only just has the products available, but also services their loans. That's a huge help.
And you had mentioned last week that it's one of the largest.
We are the third largest 203K lender in the country right now.
Excellent. Okay. So you've been doing it a long time. You know the ins and outs, which is very, very important. In today's show, we're focusing on what sellers need to know about mortgages, because during that process that they're selling the house, they may have purchased that house maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Things have changed, and we find ourselves educating the sellers these days on the offers and what to look at. We talked about the pre-approval or the pre-qualification letter on the first half of the show. So at what point should the seller feel confident that this is 100% moving forward, going to closing? That the mortgage commitment time?
100% confident it's moving forward? It's moving forward from the day that everybody signs the reply to inspections, in my opinion. However, that's the way I do it. If they sign the reply to inspections, I know I've got a deal going forward. Frankly, it's really up to how comfortable a seller feels with all of the parties that are truly working on their behalf to get this deal closed.
Things happen.
Absolutely. There's no guarantees in life on anything. However, you know, you want to have the best team behind you, and choosing you and your team, Jackie, as an agent to represent them as a seller, couldn't do a better job for themselves.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you, Michelle. I find that sellers want a guarantee, and sometimes when I'm talking to them, I'll tell them you could be cautiously optimistic, but there's sometimes things that happen, unforeseen things that do occur.
Sure.
During the course of a transaction. Job loss.
People have lost their jobs, unfortunately, and there's nothing that anybody can do to prevent that. Working with a reputable lender is, you know, another way that can help, and again, you know, that's why we always suggest to people to work locally, you know, with a local provider of service, and don't shop on the internet. Because frankly, you're not going to get anything different, because all lenders are basically within an eighth to a quarter percent of what you can get from the lowest internet lender out there. So shop locally, because I think you're going to get a better better level of service.
Plus, they can find you.
Plus, they can find me.
Yes, we can find you if we have a problem.
And that's important. You have an office.
Exactly. You're here.
And we also use appraisers that are local to our market area.
That know that value.
Right.
And that's, to me, one of the most important things. I mean, if you're working with a great realtor as yourself, when you're listing their house, you don't have an unrealistic sales price set in a seller's head. If the property is reasonably priced, it's going to attract a fair amount of activity quickly, and you should be able to secure a buyer relatively quickly on a house that's priced accordingly, as I'm sure you will attest to.
Yes. Now, I've had the unfortunate experience of seeing a marriage disintegrate before my very eyes. They thought that they needed a house, and I think they were looking for a cure to their marriage. Unfortunately, that was a circumstance that led to a deal falling through because they thought they were going to buy this property together. And it hasn't just happened once. It's happened several times over the last 22 years that I've been doing it, where I have seen during the transaction they go their separate ways, thus not purchasing the new house, and you have a seller that took the house off the market. So there are some things that happen. One of the things I know you mention often is, please don't open any new credit. Don't go out and buy things on your existing credit, such as a car, a truck.
Yeah, they like to do that. Please don't. another thing that people say, I just got this great furniture at XYZ furniture company, but there's no payment due for 48 months. Well, that's great. However, that is a new debt. So a lender has to consider that as if you were making a payment, even though that you're not. And the other thing that people are not aware of is right before closing, they run what's called a soft pull on someone's credit in the background to see if you've gotten any new additional credit. It's going to affect your debt-to-income ratio. So tell people, stop. Don't do anything. Just sit tight. I don't care what you do the day after closing. But until you own that house, don't do anything.
Here's one for you. You hate your boss. Bite your tongue till after
yes,
you close?
Absolutely.
Don't quit?
Don't quit your job. I had that happen to me. I'll never forget. The bank called me on a Thursday, and they said, you're not closing tomorrow. And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, we call to verify employment because they have to call within the last couple of days. And they said, the customer's no longer working. So I called her and I said, what's up? She says, well, they offered me a new position or a layoff. So I decided to enjoy my new house and my new baby. And I took the layoff. And I kindly told her to enjoy her new baby because the house was off the table at that point. But in the meantime, the seller's furniture was on the truck. It was a mess. Those are circumstances that, I can't control that. The rest of it, for the most part, you can control. You want to work with local appraisers. You want to work with local reputable lenders that don't give you pre-qual or pre-approval letters that aren't worth the piece of paper that they're written on, that they've been known for doing a great job. All those things are really important. What's not important to a seller as much as they think it is, frankly, is the terms of the deal. Other than sales price, that's what you need to know. What are you going to net out of the deal? But so many sellers, there's too much emphasis being put on the type of financing available today. And I'm sure that you can attest to that, seeing the deals that people would rather take an all-cash deal or maybe something that's conventional loan versus FHA or VA lending.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the stigma in a minute about those FHA, VA, which a lot of sellers have. They seem to let me know when I'm listing the property that they're not going to entertain those types of mortgages, and I often ask why. And then we have a nice discussion, and usually by the end of the discussion, I think I've turned it around. But I do want to make it a point to say, even when we hear those three magic words, clear to close, stuff can happen. At the closing table, I've seen deals fall apart too, and it's usually a personality thing at that point. But things do happen right up to the end. So it's never sure or solid, definite 100% until they're leaving the closing table with that check. Would you agree?
Yes, unfortunately, that it can happen. And clear to close, I'm done. I'm going to closing. However, I've had instances where a seller passed away unexpectedly the day of closing. Those things do happen.
Yes.
You know, those are things.
It's not every day. It's not every deal.
So we don't want you to think that if you sell your house, you're going to, something's going to happen to you. Please don't think that.
Okay. So the stigma attached to FHA, VA. What do you think the biggest obstacle for a seller is? Because these are the government type loans, the government insured, and the VA, the Veterans Administration, and the Federal Housing Administration loans.
Two reasons. Number one, I think that sellers are under the misconception that they're dealing with people who don't have a lot of money, or who have poor credit, or they're low-income home buyers. None of those things could be further from the truth. The other item that I have heard from people is they heard from other people, and not from a professional, but heard from friends and relatives and coworkers about the repairs.
We call those people experts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lunchtime mortgage experts. I hear from them all the time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know,
yes,
after...
They sold a house once.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know. But in 2006, what do you mean there's no money down? My coworker had a no money down loan, yeah, in 2006. You know, but those things do happen. There's a lot of repairs with an FHA, VA, or rural housing loan. In all reality, a couple things. There's not as many repairs as people think that they are. For a non-renovation FHA, VA, USDA loan, they're not for the handyman specials. Okay, so if you have a handyman special house, by hooking up with a great realtor such as yourself, you're going to want to point out some of the items that may be brought up in an FHA or VA inspection that they may want to address immediately. For instance, peeling paint, that's a big one. If a house was built prior to 1978, an appraiser is required to make note of it and require that it could be the peeling paint, especially around windowsills, that seems to be the biggest area, be scraped, sanded, and repainted with two coats of paint. Okay, that's the big thing. Also, they look for GFI outlets within 6 feet of any water source. They look for any rotted wood. If you have a loose handrail going up or down the steps, it's all safety issues.
And a lot of times, though, these loans, and this is what I hear from sellers, they have a seller's, what we call a seller's assist, a seller's concession, which is totally allowable, ethical, legal, and it's part of the deal. That's where the sales price is bumped up to allow that the buyer receive X amount of dollars at closing for their closing costs. And often the seller says, why do I have to pay their closing costs?
Well, I think, number one, it should be called a buyer's assist because, frankly, you know, the seller's not getting anything out of this other than the fact that it does make your home easier to sell. The majority of homes closing today have some type of seller paid closing costs. When we say the word paid, that is just such a misconception. Let's say that your house is on the market for $100,000, but you tell your agent that you're willing to accept $95,000. Well, if your agent brings you an offer price of $100,000 with $5,000 towards closing costs, your agent should be saying, would you accept an offer $95,000? And then
because that's what it truly is.
Exactly.
That's all you're getting.
Right. And then a good agent would explain, by the way, the contract is going to read this.
And this is
so
why.
This is not money coming from your pocket.
Right.
It was never yours in the first place. It's a $95,000 net offer to you. This is not $100,000 minus $5,000. It's a $95,000 net offer.
It shouldn't be negative. It should not be negative.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I just had a seller not too long ago, believe it or not, and I believe in presenting them, you know, with facts contained in each offer. I had two offers, and it warmed my heart. The seller did take the VA loan over a conventional, took the VA loan, the Veterans Administration loan, because he believed in supporting our veterans.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard of people, it's very frustrating for a home buyer trying to make an offer with the financing contingency that a home buyer took less because it was a conventional loan, there was no seller's assist, or they were getting a cash deal, so they took a little less. I want to tell sellers that on every transaction, whether it's cash, VA, FHA, conventional, you get a check at the table. Okay, it doesn't matter what kind of financing it is. You're all going to get that same check at the table, which is after expenses have been paid.
Michelle McCormack, Branch Manager, Homebridge Financial Services. Your phone number, please.
570-498-5789.
We have to close. say goodbye. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.